Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Let's all turn to Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. So we're going to be looking into one of Jacob's powerful encounters with God. But before we do, let's get some context to see where we're at in the Bible. So here in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob is preparing to meet his twin brother Esau for the first time in about 20 years. And we see that Jacob is really petrified about it because he thinks that his brother Esau is going to kill him. He thinks he's going to die. And the reason he thinks that is because Jacob did something really shifty about 20 years prior. Has your brother or sister or someone in your family ever done something so annoying, so stupid, so frustrating to you that you're like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Well, this is exactly how Esau felt. You may know the story in Genesis chapter 27. Jacob actually steals his brother Esau's blessing. Jacob pretends to be his brother and tricks his own father to get his father to bless him with the firstborn blessing. And so when Esau finds out, he immediately reacts and he vows to kill Jacob out of his anger and frustration. And he plans to do it not immediately, but after his father dies, which any good son would do, right? And so at that time, Jacob runs away to his uncle's home, which is far away. And 20 years later, which is where we are, Jacob actually hears God's call to go back home. Could you imagine how Jacob would feel hearing that news? Go back home. Because it meant that he had to cross paths with his brother, which he does not want to do. He's been avoiding it for 20 years. And to make things worse, Jacob actually finds out that Esau's coming to meet him, not by himself, but with 400 men with him. That seems pretty daunting. How would you feel? And so Jacob is petrified. And so his plan is to actually send his own family and all his possessions to go before him to meet his brother Esau, to act like a buffer so that he can come and sneak on behind them all. Just so that it gives him enough time, or his brother Esau enough time to maybe change his mind about killing him. So that is where we're at. So let's get into the scripture and let's read together. So verse 22. So the same night, he, Jacob, arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok, which is also a river. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. That was Jacob's kind of plan to deal with it. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the break of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And Jacob said to him, "What is your name?" And the man said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because God touched the hip socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Today I've told the message for today. Expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. When preparing this message, I really felt a strong exhortation from God for us as a house to expect the unexpected. To expect the unexpected. This is not just a word for the new year. This is a word for us today. This is an encouragement for us today to expect the unexpected. And through this passage, I really feel that God wants to reveal some things about himself and how he wants us to respond to him in this coming year. Are you ready to dive in? Cool. There's so many things that we can learn through this story. And the first thing we initially see is that God came to meet Jacob only when he was truly alone. In verse 22 to 24, it says that he took his family, he took his children, he took all his possessions and sent it away. And it says that Jacob was left alone. Here we see that space was created for the unexpected. Space was created for the unexpected. And it shows us that we need to get alone for God. We need to get alone for God. And the reason I say for God is because Jacob had no intention to get with God. But once he sent his possessions away, it allowed God to come and meet him so personally and very privately. There's something about God where he wants a personal, private relationship with you. He wants a private relationship with me. And it's only at a place where we become truly alone where God can actually come and fully reveal himself to us. When was the last time you had some alone time with God? Away from family, away from your friends, away from your possessions, away from the distractions that so easily surround us and capture us. Away from your phone, away from your iPad. We all have the best intentions, don't we, when it comes to our relationship with God? But often, how often Do we get caught up with the things of this world? And so we learn here that there's something so important about creating space for God to come do the unexpected. And it requires you to be alone with God. Have a think, what are the things in your life right now that distract you from God? What are those things? Will you create space for God in 2025? Will you even create space for God today? Don't wait for the new year to approach. God doesn't need a new year's resolution. He wants your commitment today. The second thing that we see here in this passage is that God is a person to be experienced. God is a person to be experienced, but it's not as you expect. Now, Jacob had many past experiences with God. God had spoken to Jacob directly through visions. He had spoken to Jacob through dreams. The prophetic was strong in Jacob's life. You may remember that at Bethel, he saw a vision of the heavens opening and the angels ascending and descending on the ladder. And he saw the Lord, he saw God high and lifted up at the top of the stairs in heaven. Jacob had already had some experiences with God. But currently, Jacob was in a place of deep distress. He was fearing for his very own life. And so in those points in our lives where we are fearful, where we're alone, we can often expect and want God to come meet us on our own terms. If you were in Jacob's shoes and you thought you were about to die, what would you ask for? What would you be praying to God for? Maybe you would be expecting God to speak to you in another dream or vision, give you a very encouraging prophetic word to appease your soul and heart in where it's at. Maybe you would expect God to send a raven with a tub of Ben and Jerry's ice cream so you could eat your sorrows away. How would you expect God to act? But none of that actually happens. Let's go back to verse 24 in our Bibles. And let's see what actually happens. Let's go to verse 24. And it reads, "And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him." Here we see God veiling himself and coming down physically as a man to encounter Jacob, to meet with Jacob. Jacob soon recognizes that this was no ordinary man. This was God himself. And he was not expecting that. And he wasn't expecting that God would be coming down to initiate a fight. God came to initiate a fight. How does that sound in your deepest, darkest, most, the worst struggle that you've ever been through, you have God coming down and he's coming to fight. He's coming to wrestle. Is that what you would expect? Is that what you would expect? We all know the qualities of God. There's so many that we can list. He's our wonderful counselor, our mighty God. He is our Prince of Peace. He's our salvation. He's our provider. He is the great I am. But in this passage, to Jacob, he actually reveals himself as the wrestler. He reveals himself as a fighter, someone who engages with wrestling. Would you expect that of God? When in the book of Genesis, God has not fully revealed himself all through the scriptures. God chooses to reveal himself as one who initiates a wrestle. Does that blow your mind? Often we can put God in a box. This is how God should be. He should fit in this box. But here's so many qualities and characteristics that you may not have ever experienced before. And he wants to reveal that to you. God is a God who is a person to be experienced. He's not a lofty figure up in the sky. He desires a personal and deep relationship, a private relationship with you. One on one. He wants to be alone with you. He wants to reveal his nature and character to you. Things that you have never experienced before. Things that you think are unexpected about God. But I really feel for us, Numa South, for you, for I, for all of us, that we're going to expect the unexpected with God. He wants to reveal such an unexpected side of him that we have not seen before. And we see this so early in the Bible. God wants to shift our expectations of him. He wants to unwrap the box that we may have placed him in. And one of the best parts of this story is not just that God comes down as a man and wrestles with him. God actually allows Jacob to fight back. God allows Jacob to fight back. And the purpose of that is that God actually wants us to engage with him. He wants you to engage with him. And we see that there is purpose. There is unexpected purpose in the wrestle with God. Let's go back to verse 24. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." So here we see God in a wrestle with a man. Talk about an unfair advantage. To give some further context, Jacob was 97 years old at this stage. It's like going to the dingly RSL or to the nursing home and getting someone old and picking a fight with them. It is an unfair advantage that God has with anyone. And can you see how God is very purposeful in that? God didn't come to crush Jacob, but he wanted to instigate and to cause Jacob to contend and to wrestle back, to engage with him. And the reason was because God wanted to transform Jacob. There is unexpected purpose in the wrestle. And some of the purposes that we see in these passages of transforming Jacob include that it's at our lowest point where God is encouraging Jacob. He encourages us to fight and contend with him. Can you see how Jacob was not fighting against his circumstance? God was inviting Jacob to not fight his circumstance, but to engage with him. God is the source of his life and his only hope. He was the only thing that Jacob had that could save him. And so in our darkest time, in your darkest time, God has a purpose for you to wrestle and contend with him. He's the only one who can save you. And we see in the wrestling that Jacob did, that there was a determination, there was a perseverance, and there was a holding on that was brought forth out of his life. It says in verse 25, the man saw he did not prevail against Jacob. It's almost like God could not do anything, like God could not stop Jacob. That doesn't comprehend. That does not make sense. God is God. He could just smite Jacob in a second. It's not a battle at all. But it was to bring out something within him. It's to bring out something within you to fight in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your darkness. Let's all turn to Hosea chapter 12, verse 4. It's not on the screen, so let's turn there together. This is a passage which refers back to the story we're reading about Jacob. And it says, Jacob struggled with the angel or with God and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. God was wanting to bring out something within Jacob. In the midst of his weeping, in the midst of the brokenness that he was feeling, to hold on and cling on to God. In verse 26, God actually asked Jacob to let go of him. Again, God could just brush him off like a fly. But we see Jacob's response, and he replies back to God, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me. Jacob, can you see how Jacob was not fighting against his circumstance? He was wrestling and contending with God until the one who could bless him, until the one who could change his circumstances did something. And we see that God did do something. But there were things that were unexpected. The first thing we see is that Jacob was actually wounded by God. In verse 25, God actually touches Jacob's hip socket. He touches his thigh. He causes a weakness within Jacob. And even though he does that, Jacob is still holding on like a dog to a bone. He's still holding on. He's already got his pain of fearing death. God has just touched him and injured him. And who reckons a bit of, if God touched your hip and it went out of socket, that would hurt. He's in physical pain now. And yet he holds on to God. God wounds us at times to show us that his grace is made perfect in our weakness. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 to 10. Let's all turn there. And this is Paul speaking, the Apostle Paul. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." There's something about our weaknesses which God may expose or cause within us that almost seems counterintuitive. We read later that Jacob was limping after this experience. He was about to meet his brother walking like a lame duck. Things just got harder for him if he was to fight his brother. At least his brother was the same age as him. Two old guys, 97 years old, wrestling together, fighting together. He was severely weakened by God. And God does that to show his grace and power. It's made greater through our weaknesses. The second thing that we see, which was very unexpected, was that God actually changed his name. He changed Jacob's name. Let's go to verse 27. And the man said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with man and have prevailed." It's really interesting that God actually declares the winner of the fight, Jacob. Can you see how intentional God was in this encounter? And unexpectedly, God actually changes Jacob's name. God unexpectedly wounds Jacob. Now he unexpectedly changes his name. Jacob's name means deceiver or supplanter. That was his name from birth. And we heard his story of how he played out his brother and stole his brother's blessing. That's why he's in the trouble he is today. It was his own causing, his own deception that caused the problems in his life. How many of our problems are self-inflicted at times? And so even though his parents lovingly named him deceiver, a bit like Satan, God unexpectedly changes his name. And what does he change Jacob's name to? Israel. Which means you have striven with God and with man and have prevailed. Here God was unexpectedly changing the entire identity of Jacob. He had formerly been known and lived his life as a deceiver. But God was very intentional at this point in this wrestle to change the future of his entire life, his entire identity. Someone who has won and prevailed against God. When we fight against God, when we contend with him, when you hold on to him and you do not let him go, there are unexpected blessings. He can change you from being a deceiver, from being a sinner, from being the worst person that your family thinks you are. He can change us into someone and transform us into someone completely different. But Jacob had to hold on until this happened. Can you see how kind God is in this story? He's showing so much grace to Jacob. Here he's just changed his entire identity. But God does not stop there. God does something else. God blesses Jacob. I will not let you go until you bless me. So what is God's response? It's to show him grace, unmerited, undeserved favor by blessing him. God showed him his favor. God actually spared his life in that encounter. And so here we see that God was so intentional about meeting with Jacob. It was so unexpected. It was unexpected that God would come down in the form of a man and wrestle with him. It was unexpected that God would wound him. It was unexpected that God would change his name. And it was unexpected that God would actually bless him. And so we see that because of this unexpected encounter with God, Jacob actually becomes a different man. Firstly, he has a different name and a different identity. We see that there is a new faith, a new inner strength that has been developed and trained by God in Jacob. God is the best personal trainer. He trains you, he trains I in our weakest moments to bring out and to to release a faith and a perseverance and an endurance to hold on to God through whatever hardship you are facing, even if you are facing death itself. And we see, eventually read, that Jacob limps his way to meet his brother Esau. They reunite. They actually hug and weep over one another. They reconcile. What Jacob's greatest fear became his greatest joy. He was reunited with his brother. He was reunited with his family because he didn't let go. And so we see that and learn that when we wrestle with God in the secret place, it's actually it empowers us to confront our fears and our impossible situations. Are there things in your life that you are not looking forward to in 2025? Things that you are currently experiencing where you feel alone. Maybe you're feeling like Jacob in distress. I just really feel the encouragement of God as I invite the band to come up. To expect the unexpected with him. God has just revealed a side of his character that is so unexpected. And he reveals it in his word to encourage us to respond to him in the same way. That's why he's given us his word. This is the foundation in which we don't just live our lives, but it's the foundation in which we can now relate and engage with God, just like Jacob did.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.